الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we're discussing the madaris الثلاث that the companions they had after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. المدارس الثلاث, the three schools of learning and teaching that were found in the early days after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've seen that there was one in Al-Madina and another in Mecca and another in Al-Kufa, and in Medina there was Zayd ibn Thabit. He was the great teacher and scholar who was spreading the knowledge of the Sunnah in those lands, and he has students who are learning from him radiyallahu anhu. And likewise in Mecca it was Abdullah ibn Abbas in radiyallahu anhuma, and he was teaching and spreading the Sunnah, and he had a number of students that were learning from him radiyallahu anhu. And in Al-Kufa there was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who had many students, and he was teaching and spreading the Sunnah and clarifying their religion, and he had students who were learning from him. And it was from these students of these noble companions specifically that the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah and the proper understanding of the Deen of Al-Islam was spread. Although it's not restricted to these efforts, but rather these are some of the main efforts, and this was the point of the issue. This was the point of the issue, to learn about some of the most important names and personalities, individuals whom Allah had selected and chosen to carry and to defend the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to establish the Deen of Allah azza wa jalla. It has been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 751. He has a great work called A'lam al-Muwaqi'in. A'lam al-Muwaqi'in, al-Rabb al-Alameen. And in this work he speaks about the fatwa and about ijtihad and about taqlid and about the scholars of fatwa and the rulings with regards to that. And he mentions in the beginning the history of how the knowledge was spread and the fiqh and the jurisprudence was spread through the ummah. And he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَالدِّينُ وَالْفِقْهُ وَالْعِلْمُ انْتَشَرَ فِي الْأُمَّةِ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودِ وَأَصْحَابِ زَيْدِ بْنِ ثَابِتِ وَأَصْحَابِ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَبَاسٍ رضي الله عنهم وَأَصْحَابِ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرِ فَعِلْمُ النَّاسِ عَامَّتُهُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ. So he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala that the deen and the fiqh, the Islamic jurisprudence and understanding of the religion and the knowledge, it spread through the ummah from the students of Ibn Mas'ud and the students of Zayd ibn Thabit and the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas and the students of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum. So he says, so the knowledge, the general knowledge that had reached the people, it came from the students of these four companions. It came from the students of these four companions. فَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ فَعِلْمُهُمْ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ زَيْدِ بْنِ ثَابِتِ وَعَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرِ وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْمَكَّةِ فَعِلْمُهُمْ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَبَاسٍ وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْإِرَاقِ فَعِلْمُهُمْ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ. He says, as for the people of Medina, then their knowledge came from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, and likewise the students of Abdullah ibn Umar. And it's been mentioned that Abdullah ibn Umar also, he had students, but they would rely on the fatawa and the teaching of Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, and the affairs they had no narrations with regards to. So they were still benefiting from Zayd ibn Thabit and following his way radiyallahu anhu. So, and then he says, and the people of Mecca, then their knowledge, it came from the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And as for the people of Al-Iraq, then their knowledge came from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this is what we have been discussing in our previous class. And to review, we've seen that in Kufa, again, there was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And he had a number of students. At the head of them was Alqama ibn Qais al-Nakhai. And likewise Al-Aswad ibn Yazid al-Nakhai. And also Masruq ibn Ajda. And also Abida al-Salmani. And also Al-Harith ibn Qais and Amr ibn Sharahbil. Also from them, Shuraih al-Qadi. And we have seen some benefits with regards to some of them in our previous class. So it's from their efforts, learning from this noble companion in those lands and that region, that the knowledge was spread. The knowledge was spread through the Ummah. As for after them, then they had students as well. And from the best of the students, of those students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, were Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and also Amr al-Sha'bi, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. And they had students as well. And from the best of their students was Al-A'mash. And he is from the small Tabi'een, from the Sighar Tabi'een, from those six who the narrations revolve around. And also Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. So from the greatest students of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was Ibrahim al-Nakhai and also al-Sha'bi. And from the greatest students of those two were al-A'mash and Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. And al-A'mash and Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, they're from the people of al-Kufa, whom the narrations they revolve around. There were six of them, two of them from Kufa, these are these two. So there are those who had transmitted the fiqh and the understanding, the narrations that were with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and likewise his qira'ah, his mode of recitation of the Qur'an. And Amash is one of those who narrates the Qur'an to the Ummah, and those famous qira'at and reciters that are well known today, then from them, some of them they learned from the likes of Al-Amash and these individuals that we're mentioning here. So not only are they the scholars of Hadith, but likewise they're the scholars of Tafsir and also the scholars of Al-Fiqh. So they're learning the Qur'an and the Sunnah and also the jurisprudence and the law and legislation and the proper creed and methodology and way. We've seen after them, after Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i and Al-Amash, there was Sufyan al-Thawri. And he who learned from the likes of them, and he carried that knowledge to those after him. Then we had also discussed the issue of the madrasa, the school that was in Medina, Madrasa to Medina. The head of that was Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, and he had a number of students likewise. At the head of them was Atta ibn Abi Rabah, and Tawus ibn Kaysan, and Mujahid ibn Jabr, and Jabr ibn Zayd. And also Ikrimah, Mawla ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, as well as Sa'id ibn Jubair. We have seen that the most knowledgeable of them and the most virtuous was Sa'id ibn Jubair rahimahullahu ta'ala. So these are the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who learned from him the Qur'an, and learned from him the Sunnah, and learned from him the understanding, and they followed his methodology and way diligently. From the best of those who learned from them was Amr ibn Dinar. We have seen as well that he is also from the six. We took two from the six who were from Kufa. That was Amash and Abu Ishaq. They're from those who narrated the methodology and way of Ibn Mas'ud. And now the one that the chains revolve around from Mecca was Amr ibn Dinar. So he learned from the students of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu and Huma. And then from him was Ibn Juraij, Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Juraij, and also Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And from those who learned from them after. So they were from those 12 that we discussed, who took from those six that the chains they revolve around. In our previous class, we have begun discussing the issue of Madrasa and Medina, of the school that was found in Al-Madinah, and at the head of that was Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, and he had a number of students who were learning from him and benefiting from him. He mentioned here Ali ibn Madini rahimahullah, that he had 12 of them, and we mentioned them briefly in our previous class, and they were Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and Urwa ibn al-Zubayr, and Qabisa ibn Du'ayb, and Kharija ibn Zayd, and Sulaiman ibn Yasar, and Aban ibn Uthman, and Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah, and Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, and Salim ibn Abdullah, and Abu Bakr ibn Abdurrahman, and Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman, and Talha ibn Abdullah ibn Auf, and Nafi' Ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im, and Nafi ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im. So these were from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit. He mentioned here 12 of them. But in those days, in the time of the Tabi'een, there were 7 of them who were alive at one time in Al-Madinah, and they were known as Al-Fuqaha Al-Saba'ah. Al-Fuqaha Al-Saba'ah. So the point that we were making in the previous class is to emphasize this affair that not only are they the narrators of hadith, also they're the narrators of the Qur'an. So the scholars of hadith, they're the scholars of the Qur'an and the hadith. These affairs, they come hand in hand. One will not be able to follow the Qur'an except by following the hadith. And the hadith is clarifying the Qur'an. And that which is derived from these two is the proper understanding and the application of that. So here they're known as al-fuqaha al-sab'ah. And in each one of these affairs, he mentioned there was only 3 companions who had tilamid. They had ashab. كانوا يذهبون مذهبهم ويفتون بفتواهم ويسلكون طريقتهم. That these three here, Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas and Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhum, they're from the only ones of the companions, from the only individuals from the companions, they had students following their way and learning their fatwa and also judging based upon their verdicts and following their methodology and path. So here we're talking about narrations and defending the Sunnah, but I want to emphasize that includes the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and likewise the jurisprudence and the fiqh in the Ummah. So the point that we're making now, the students of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, there are 12 here mentioned in this work that we're discussing. 7 of them here are known as al-fuqaha al-sab'ah, and in the 7 great scholars of fiqh and jurisprudence that were all alive at one time in Al-Madinah. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in that same work we were discussing earlier, A'lam al-Waqi'een, he mentioned about them, about the fuqaha al-sab'ah, that some of the people of knowledge have put them in lines of poetry. And we used to hear this often from our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin hafidhahullah ta'ala, and we have discussed this before, and even some of the brothers have memorized these lines of poetry. So this would be a great benefit and for the students to memorize. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned the lines of poetry with regards to the 7 fuqaha, the 7 great scholars of Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence. They're all alive at one time in Al-Madinah, and they're all from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. He says, إِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ فِي الْعِلْمِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُورٍ روايتهم ليست عن العلم خارجة فقولهم عبيد الله عروة قاسم سعيد أبو بكر سليمان خارجة. If it said to you, who with regards to knowledge is considered to be 7 vast oceans, their narrations are not outside of knowledge, any meaning that their narrations are from the knowledge that has reached us, then you say, whom عبيد الله, this is here, the one that he's speaking about here, this is the one that he's speaking about here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that there was 12 of them. From them, Ubaydullah, Ibn Abdullah, Ibn Utbah, Ibn Mas'ud. Ubaydullah, Ibn Abdullah, Ibn Utbah, Ibn Mas'ud, rahimahullah. And he's from the lineage of Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud. Utbah Ibn Mas'ud is the brother of Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud. So he's Ubaydullah. And then after that, Urwa ibn Zubayr. And he is the son of Az-Zubayr. He is the son of a noble companion, Az-Zubayr ibn Al-Awam radiallahu anhu. So this is Urwa. And then off after him, Qasim. His Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr Siddiq. Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr Siddiq. He's the grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His name is Qasim ibn Muhammad. So these are from these that are mentioned here. These are from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, from the Fuqaha al-Sab'ah. These are 3 of them now. And then after that, he says Sa'idun. Sa'id, yani Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Al-Musayyib, he was a companion. So this is also a son of a companion. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. And after him, Abu Bakr, also Abu Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman. Abu Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman, he's also from these seven. And after him, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, and Kharija ibn Zayd ibn Thabit, his son, the son of Zayd ibn Thabit, his name is Kharija. So the poetry says again, إِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ فِي الْعِلْمِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُورٍ رِوَايَتُهُمْ لَيْسَتْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ خَارِجًا فَقُولْهُمْ عُبَيْدَ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةٌ قَاسِمٌ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكَرٌ سُلَيْمَانُ خَارِجًا سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكَرٌ سُلَيْمَانُ خَارِجًا. So again, these seven fuqaha, they are known as the fuqaha al-sab'a. Al-fuqaha al-sab'a. And they are from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that with regards to the seventh one, there's a difference of opinion. Meaning there's other individuals likewise at the same time who are alive. So some of them they mention, like in these lines of poetry, Abu Bakr ibn Abdurrahman ibn Harith. Ibn Hisham, and others they said no, it's Salim ibn Abdullah, who is the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, also the son of a companion. Others they said Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was also the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was also a companion. So the majority of the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, they're either the sons of companions or the grandsons of companions. The majority of them. So here there's seven of them, but two of them were included likewise, and in a difference of opinion from them, Salim and also Abu Salama. And they're all mentioned here. So these are from the best of the Tabi'een. Yani, literally, Allahu Akbar. From the best of them, the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, From the six who the chains revolve around in the people of Medina, there was Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He died in 124. He's the one who collected the narrations at the order of the Muslim leader, Khalifa in those days, which was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in year 101. He is the one who ordered for Zuhri to go through the lands and to collect the narrations and to write them down. So he's from the first to write and gather and collect the narrations all in one document. Although they were not arranged in chapters and the likes like this, and then these narrations, they were copied and sent through the lands. So he was from the first of those to have effort in preserving the legislation at the command of the Khalifa of those days, which is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. This one here, Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah, ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud, he is mentioned in his biography, he's the teacher of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So these people here in these days, they are from the best of the people, as we have seen, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ The best of mankind is my generation, and then those who follow them, Az-Zuhri rahimahullah, yani he mentioned he's from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit, or some of them at least. He says, كُنْتُ أَطْرُبُ الْإِلْمَ مِنْ ثَلَاثَ سَعِيد ibn al-Musayyib وكان أفقه الناس وعروة ابن الزبير وكان بحرا لا تكدره دلاء وكنت لا تشاء أن تجد عند عبيد الله طريقة من علما لا تجدها عند غيره إلا وجدته. He said, I used to seek knowledge from three, and not only but mainly. And I used to seek knowledge from three. Az-Zuhri, he says, rahimahullah, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. He's married to the daughter of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. He said, and he's mentioned from the best of the Tabi'een with regards to narration and knowledge. And he said, so I used to seek knowledge from three. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, and he had the greatest fiqh of the people. He kana afqah al-nas, and he had the greatest understanding of the religion. And he said, I used to seek knowledge also from Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. From Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. Wa kana bahran, and he was an ocean of knowledge. He was an ocean of knowledge. And if you dip your your bucket in, it will not cause it to become dirty. I mean, sometimes if you move the water around in the lights like this, and then the water begin to come foggy in the lights like this. He said if he doesn't become foggy, and he's an ocean of knowledge. He's an ocean of knowledge, clean and pure. Allahu Akbar. Then he says, and if you ever wanted to go to Ubaidullah, and to find some knowledge that you didn't have before, and you couldn't find anyone else, you would go to him. And it's been narrated from him likewise that he would seek knowledge from his teachers until he took all of their knowledge. And he said, I sat with Urwa ibn Zubayr until everything he says to me is taqrar. And he's taken all of his knowledge until everything now come to a point that everything he's mentioning now, he already heard it. And he's already heard all of his knowledge. His teacher here, this particular teacher, he's exhausted him. And he knows all of his narrations and all of his benefits and the lights like this, and everything that he hears from him in his gatherings now are things that have been repeated before. He says, but as for Ubaidullah, he said, every time I sit with him, he'll bring new knowledge that I never heard in my life. He'll bring new knowledge that I never heard in my life, meaning that he was vast in his understanding and in his narrations and in his deen. So we have the Fuqaha Sab'a. These are actually from the students of Zayd ibn Thabit. So we took them before. We took them before in previous classes, and we discussed them and we memorized these lines of poetry. So we can review that, and those who want to memorize, they should memorize. They'll first remember, and that which is new are those six that the narrations revolve around. And from them there were 12. After them, from their students. And then from them, there were six more, making it a total of 24. Some of them are here from the Fuqaha Sab'a. إِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ فِي الْعِلْمِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ رِوَايَتُهُمْ لَيْسَتْ عَنَ الْعِلْمِ خَارِجَةً فَقُولُهُمْ عُبَيْدَ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةٌ قَاسِمٌ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكْرٍ سُلَيْمَانُ خَارِجَةً. Also, even before that, we had taken before الْمُكْثِرُونَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, those those seven companions who narrated more than 1,000 narrations that are collected in the books of the Sunnah. The seven companions who narrated more than 1,000 narrations that are collected in the Sunnah. We had taken this before. We had discussed these affairs previously, but we can review them now. And it's been mentioned by Suyuti in his Alfiyah. He has a poetry of 1,000 lines about the science of hadith. He says, وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ يُرِيهِ إِبْنُ عُمَرُ وَأَنَسٌ وَالْبَحْرُ كَالْخُدْرِ وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجُةُ النَّبِيِّ الْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ يُرِيهِ إِبْنُ عُمَرُ وَأَنَسٌ وَالْبَحْرُ كَالْخُدْرِ وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ. So they are seven. At the head of them is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And in reality, the others, they do not come close to that which he narrated. He narrated more than 5,000. Radiallahu anhu. He narrated more than 5,000 narrations radiallahu anhu. And then after him, Ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhu. And after him, and Ibn Umar, he narrated more than 2,000. And Anas also narrated more than 2,000. And Aisha, she narrated more than 2,000. And Ibn Abbas, he narrated more than 1,500. And also Jabir, more than 1,500. And Abu Sa'id, more than 1,000. I mean, I have the numbers documented here if anyone wants to know them precisely. But this is the order. This is their order and the amount. Abu Hurairah, he narrated 5,324 narrations. He died in the year 57. Ibn Umar, he narrated 2,630 narrations. He died in the year 73. Anas ibn Malik, and he narrated 2,286 narrations. He died in the year 93. From the last of the Sahaba to die. He died in the year 93. Anas ibn Malik, and Abu Hamza, Khadim Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha as-Siddiqa, bint as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhuma. She died in 57. She narrated 2,210 narrations. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he narrated 1,696 narrations. He died in 68. And Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma, he narrated 1,540 narrations, and he died in 78. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he narrated 1,170 narrations, and he died in the year 74. So there are many companions, but these specific seven, they have been gathered in this manner because they had narrated so many narrations. They had narrated so many narrations. And there are other narrators likewise who are considered from the Mukthirun min al-Sahaba, who are considered from the Mukthirun min al-Sahaba, meaning they have many narrations, but they haven't reached this level. They haven't surpassed 1,000 in the books of the Sunnah. They haven't passed 1,000 in the books of the Sunnah. There are others who mentioned that narrated hundreds of narrations, but they haven't reached this level. So there's seven of them. There's seven of them. Who can repeat them without looking? Yes. Huh? Abu Huraira. Ibn Umar.
Anas.
Aisha.
Jabir.
Abu Sa'id. Abu Sa'id. There's one more. We're missing one. Huh? Ibn Abbas.
Ibn Abbas.
Ibn Abbas. Ahsanta. Allahu Akbar.
Another bait. Sab'un min as-sahb fawqa al-alf qad rafa'u min al-ahadith an al-mukhtar khayr mudar. أبو هريرة سعيد جابر أنس صديقة وابن عباس كذا ابن عمر.
Who is this from?
I forget.
This one is from the Alfiya of Suyuti, a well known lines of poetry. Sheikh Abdul Mohsen, he used to mention it often. Anytime we study the books of Hadith, and one of these names would come, he'll mention his lines of poetry. And if in the chains of narration, one of the fuqaha sab'a comes, he mentioned that issue, he mentioned the lines of poetry. Until you memorize it just from sitting in the gathering. Until you memorize it just from sitting in the gathering. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam in Ethiopia, rahimahullah, he also rearranged these names here, al-mukthiruna al-sab'a, and lines of poetry, and he put them in order. He put them in order, and from the one who narrated the most to the one who narrated the least. So these are not necessarily in order. The one Abu Hammam mentioned also, and didn't mention them in order. But the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, rahimahullah, he has some lines of poetry also. These are the ones that I memorized and that I'm familiar with and I learned from my teacher, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. Also, we had taken some other important numbers as well with regards to the names of the companions specifically. From them, there is the Khulafa al-Arba'ah. Al-Khulafa al-Arba'ah. Who are they? The four Khulafa. Who are they? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma, and then Uthman ibn Affan, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he died in the year 13, and Umar, he died in the year 23, and Uthman, he died in the year 35, and Ali, he died in the year 40. There's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, it's the hadith of Safina radiallahu anhu. He mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, خِلَافَةُ النُّبُوَةِ 30 سَنَة ثُمَّ يُعْطِ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ ثُمَّ يُعْطِ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ أَوْ مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That the khilafah of prophethood is 30 years. خِلَافَةُ النُّبُوَةِ 30 سَنَة ثُمَّ يُعْطِ اللَّهُ مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And then Allah will give His authority and dominion to whom He wills, to whom He wills. So whenever we look here, we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died in 11. Then Abu Bakr, he died in 13, which is 2 years, right? He had the Khilafah for 2 years. And then after him, Umar, he died in the year 23. How many years is that now? 23 years, right? How many years is that? He died in the year 23. So that's 13, right? Approximately 12 years. And after the Prophet, he died in 11. And then 2 years for Abu Bakr. And then in 23, how many years is that? Huh? So 12. We have 12 total now, right? And then Uthman, he died in 35. Radiallahu anhu. Huh? 35. How many more years is that to add?
13.
13 years. 13 and 12. How many? Huh?
The longest.
Huh? 25. And then Ali, he died in 40. So how many more years is that?
3 years and a half.
Uh-huh. Almost five. Almost five. Just a little bit less. Yeah, so this is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. So this is the evidence for the fact that the khulafa, they're arba'a. These are the khulafa al-arba'a. Khulafa al-rashidun al-mahdiyun. Those whom the Prophet ﷺ referred to in the hadith of Irbad, al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. Whenever he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ Who are they? Huh? تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ Hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. Hold fast to it and bite onto it with your motor teeth. So who are they? There are these four. What's the proof there are these four? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the khilafa of nubuwah, that the khilafa, the authority and the government of prophethood is 30 years. So these 30 years here, these were the khulafa. So they're the ones that are referred to. In that order and in that manner, likewise, they are known in their virtue. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then after that, Umar radiallahu anhu, and after that, Uthman radiallahu anhu, and after that, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhu. So these were some of the names likewise that we had taken before, and we can add them to our lists. We can add them to our list. Also, there was another issue that we discussed, al-abadila al-arba'a min sigar al-sahaba. There were four individuals from the young ones of the companions. All of them, their name is Abdullah. Who are they? They're known as al-abadila al-arba'a min sigar al-sahaba. Four noble companions from the younger ones of the companions. All of them, they have the same name, Abdullah.
Abdullah ibn Abbas.
Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Amr. You're looking. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. We're supposed to come from memory. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Umar. And Abdullah ibn Amr. Ibn Amr. Some people, they say Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We say that's not right. Why? Because he's old. He's been a sabiqin al-awwalin. So we're not talking about everyone whose name is Abdullah. There's Abdullah ibn Rawaha, there's Abdullah, there's an Abdullah ibn Sarjis, there's a number of companions named Abdullah, but we're talking about these four who have that name from the sigar al-sahaba, from the sigar al-sahaba. So this is beneficial whenever you couple numbers to issues, numbers to names. Now it helps you to memorize them. So we have seven whom narrated more than 1,000 narrations from the companions. We have four of them, they're the khulafa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have four of them, their names are Abdullah, and they're all from the youth of the companions. Remember them, we learn about them. Remember them and we learn about them. Likewise, with regards to the companions, there's 10. Al-ashr mubashiruna bil jannah. There's 10 who have been granted the glad tidings of paradise. Who are they? 10 of them. Who are they? Who can give me four? The companions, there's 10 of them that have been given the glad tidings of paradise in one narration. And that's what is intended by al-ashara mubashiruna bil jannah. And 10 individuals from the companions, radiallahu anhum, they are granted glad tidings from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration. Furan fil jannah, the Prophet said, Furan fil jannah, wa furan fil jannah, wa furan fil jannah, wa furan fil jannah, until he counted 10 of them. You understand that? Huh? Give me four of them at least. Come on. Are you guys sleeping? Abu Bakr and Omar and Uthman and Ali, the head of them, these four. Now if I say give me the other six, I can say maybe you guys have to think or something like that. You have to bring it to your mind. But these four here, you don't forget these four. Four of them are the Khulafa al-Rashidun. Four of them are the Khulafa al-Rashidun. You understand that? They're mentioned in there. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah. Ali fil Jannah, like this, it has come. And the rest of them?
Abdurrahman ibn Auf.
Abu Ubaidah. Ibn Jarrah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Al-Zubayr. Ibn Awam. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd. What? Sa'id ibn Abi Waqas. Ahsantum. That's six. Ibn Abi Dawood, Abdullah ibn Abi Dawood, Sijistani, the son of the great scholar Abu Dawood, rahimahum Allah. He has a summarized work of poetry about Aqidah. Who knows what it's called? Al-Ha'iyyah. It's called Al-Ha'iyyah. Tamassak bihablillahi wa tabi'i al-huda wa la takun bid'iyan la'alaka tuflihu. وَدَنْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ الَّتِي أَعْتَدْ أَنْ وَسُولِ اللَّهِ تَنْجُوَ وَتَرْبَحُ. And until the end of the lines of poem, in this poem, he mentioned these 10. First he mentioned the Khulafa, and these 4, and he talked about them. And then he moved on, he says, وَسَعِيدٌ وَسَعَدٌ وَبْنُ عَوْفٍ وَطَلْحَةٌ وَعَامِرٌ فِحْرٍ وَزُبَيْرٌ مُمَدَّحُ. And he mentioned the other 6 here. وَسَعِيدٌ وَسَعَدٌ وَبْنُ عَوْفٍ وَطَلْحَةٌ وَعَامِرُ فِهْرٍ وَالزُّبَيْرِ الْمُمَدَّحُ. So these are the 6 here. وَسَعِيدٌ وَسَعَدٌ وَسَعِيدْ ibn Zayd. سَعِيدْ ibn Zayd. And سَعَدْ ibn Abi Waqas. وَسَعِيدٌ وَسَعَدٌ وَبْنُ عَوْفٍ. عبد الرحمن ibn Auf. وَطَلْحَةٌ طَلْحَة ibn Ubaidillah. وَعَامِرُ فِهْرٍ وَعَامِرُ فِهْرٍ أبو عبيدة ibn Jarrah. الزبير الممدح. الزبير is الزبير ابن العوام. ابن العوام رضي الله عنهم. And speaking of Zubair, we're talking of his son. One of his sons is from the عبادلة, right? عبد الله
في ختام البيت.
الممدح. وعامر فرهن والزبير الممدح. نعم. So الزبير الممدح, and the one who's praiseworthy, he has a son. He's from the عبادلة. Who is that? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He has another son who is from the Fuqaha Seba'a.
Urwa.
Urwa ibn Zubayr. Even Urwa, he has a son who is also from the great scholars of hadith and narrators of the religion. Hisham ibn Urwa. Even we discussed some affairs about him previously. So here are some, these are some more names that are important and beneficial to know and to learn about. Whenever they're coupled in numbers, it makes it easy. It makes it easy to learn. We took before likewise from the later generations, from the scholars of hadith, there's another set of abadila. The ones that we took now, the abadila. What does the abadila mean? Individuals, they have the same name, Abdullah. And the same names they have, the individuals, they have the same name, Abdullah. The one we're talking about was from the Sigar al-Sahaba, right? There's another group called the abadila. But they were with regards to the narrators from Abdullah ibn Lahiyah. Who remembers Abdullah ibn Lahiyah? Rahimahullah. He died in the year 174. He's from the narrators of hadith. Originally he was thiqah. And originally he's an upright narrator. But his books burned up. And then he began to narrate from his memory and he became weak. The Abadila, the individuals that have the name Abdullah, they narrated on Abdullah ibn Lahiyah. Abdullah ibn Lahiyah, he died in 174. He was a narrator of hadith, and he was from the scholars of the Sunnah. And it's known that the way of preserving the narrations and carrying them and transmitting them is in two manners. It's in two manners, either by heart or by writing. By writing. So the narrations, in order for them to be accepted, a person, first he must have reliability in his religion. And then after that, he must have precision in his narration. So he must have adala fi nafsihi, and then he has to have dhabt lima yarwihi. Al-dhabt lima yarwihi, has to have precision in that which he narrates. And al-dhabt dhabtan, and the precision is in two types. Al-dhabt al-sudur, al-dhabt al-sutur. To have precision by way of memorizing in the heart, and precision by way of writing. So a number of them, they would memorize only. They would not ever write. And they would mention that, I never wrote in my life. Some of them, they couldn't even write. But they would memorize everything they heard. And they would say, I never read one narration. And I never asked my teacher to ever repeat again. He would hear it one time and that's it. And then others, they would also have that type of precision in their memorization, but also they would write. But also they would write, especially after that bad tabi'in and the likes like this, then they would start writing, and they would have manuscripts. So the manuscript has to be preserved and kept proper and good, and you can't loan it to anybody. It can't just be in the hands of people, and they have manners of observing it and checking it and examining it and verifying it and determining whether any has been changed or people erasing stuff. And if you just scratch it out, like we said today, put white out there, right? If there's a scratch on the manuscript, they're going to accuse him. What was there? Why'd you scratch that out? And it likes like this. So they had manners of verifying the manuscripts that they wrote. So the point is now that some of them, they would narrate from their manuscript. And some of them would narrate from their heart, from their memory, and from manuscript. And some of them, they were weak if they narrate from their memory, but if they narrate from their manuscript, they're strong. So the narrations that are learned in this manner, they will be accepted. So from them, Abdullah ibn Lahiya, rahimahullah, something happened in his manuscripts. All of his narrations, they burned up. They burned up, subhanAllah. So there are narrators who narrated from him before his manuscripts burned up, and there's narrators who narrated from him after his manuscripts burned up. So the scholars of hadith, they had verified and examined, they had examined and verified, and they found out that whenever those who narrate on him before his books burned up, their narrations are proper in accordance to the rest of the narrators of his era, in his time, in his tabaqah. And those who narrated after him found that his narrations are contrary. He's making mistakes in the chains, making mistakes in the wordings of the hadith. He's bringing stuff that other reliable narrators didn't bring. And he's mixing things together. So then they put a principle down with regards to this one narrator. So this issue here is called al-ikhtilat. Yani yakhtalat al-rawi. And before, he was a strong, precise narrator, and then he got mixed up. And maybe by old age, or like here, he lost his books. He lost his books and began narrating from his memory, which was not strong and did not help him. So they verified these things and they identified these things, and they mentioned the principle, whoever narrated on Ibn Lahiyya before his books were burned, their narrations on him are authentic and good. And whoever narrated on him after that, then the narrations on him are not good and not authentic. And if they're authentic, they are accepted. If they're not authentic, they are rejected and not accepted. So there are individuals with the name of Abdullah that all narrated on Ibn Lahiyya before his books burned. Abdullah ibn Mubarak and Abdullah ibn Wahab and Abdullah ibn Maslama al-Ka'nabi rahimahumullah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.